Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
wait, hold on. Let me see. Oh. Come on and slam, and welcome to the gym. Come on and slam. Yeah, I'm ready.
What were you saying, James?
I said I was gonna. I was saying I was board ready, but then Aaron was like, "Well, hold on."
You say you're ready. I was born ready.
I don't know that we can start another episode with us doing Bane. I think that we have maybe.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're doing
it. Any excuse.
Guess who's back? If you've got money to spend, another show from the street, yo, of tenuous friends. I don't know. If it were me, I'd probably throw the towel in, but hell, I guess they'll try it again. Here's the general concept of what they will do. Ooh, they find a piece of media they want to review. Ooh, provided that it ties into the riddle purview. Ooh, so now it's time for a Randall Riddles Review Crew.
We're in it, everybody. We didn't think that we could get there, but we're doing another episode.
Come on and slam!
Uh-huh. We're doing it. We're being Bane.
You just jam in space. I was born in it.
Nothing happened in space in this movie, and I have some questions.
Are we really just getting into it?
I think we're just getting into it.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's Space Jam, everybody.
Everybody's review crew. I'm Adorify.
I'm JPZ.
And I'm...
out of breath.
Out of breath.
And we're going to be talking about Space Jam because you little freaks voted for it.
You're such a bunch of little freaks. Dirty we say that freaks. About you guys.
Dirty I've been meaning to freaks. Talk to you guys about this because you guys are a bunch of little freaks.
Yeah. That's so weird that they're all a bunch of little freaks.
Can we talk about, before we even start in about the movie, I mean, I guess we're already starting about the movie. The
sure.
opening credits, one, just edited so poorly. And then two, this song, Welcome
well,
to
they
the
didn't,
Space
Jam. They didn't have Casey.
Nice.
This song, Welcome to the Space Jam, I think is my new favorite song. Now, the lyrics are bad.
Sure.
It starts with, everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam, all right?
All right, all right, all right, all right.
And my favorite part is there's a part that says, oh, where did it go? It's like, hey, ladies, yeah, y'all ready to stop? No. You want to know why? Why?
Why?
Because it's a slam jam. Makes no sense.
A fun little tidbit about that song is
yes.
That was a song I danced to at a dance recital, probably
ooh.
Around middle school.
Ooh,
and
Aaron.
As it was playing, I stood up and I said, I wonder if I remember this dance. And I remembered a lot of it. It was for jazz class. Everybody can stand up. It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going now. And then it kept going. So I know if anyone wants to see that dance, I can show you.
For listeners who can't see Erin, which is all listeners, she did a handstand and then did the splits on her ceiling.
and then I took out an arrow that had been lodged in my arm for several days.
And then it looks like she projectile vomited, I want to say blood was
yeah.
what that was.
Okay. I remembered the whole dance.
Okay.
Let's talk about that bunny's titties. That's what people are here for.
No. Lola. Always might as well name her Lolita Bunny. So let's talk about our relationship with Space Jam. Now, me personally, I grew up, for the most part, I spent probably half my life or
stop
more.
Right there. I grew up for the most part perfectly encapsulates what we get when we see an adult adult.
Uh-huh,
yep.
That's fair. I grew up in the Illinois area. Central Illinois for my high school and some of my junior high years. And the Bulls were the biggest thing. I remember watching all the Bulls games, their championship runs, and Michael Jordan was the biggest thing. But somehow, Space Jam escaped me. I have Space Jam toys. I have a Space Jam watch and shirts, but I never saw the movie. I don't know if it's because the movie never came to my small town or what happened, but I never saw it until... maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, was the first time I saw Space Jam. So this was my second viewing ever. So that's my relationship with Space Jam. Aaron, it sounds like you had seen the movie at least when you were doing your dance recital.
Yeah. Well, this really hit me in my nostalgia past brain because I hadn't watched it since I was a child. And I watched it a bunch when I was a kid. Didn't love it, but I feel like this was like a sleepover movie.
Yeah.
And I started pressing play and immediately had sense memory. I was like, oh, this is on one of those TVs that's static when you go mm-hmm. and you up to it. Like you can feel the TV, you can hear it turn on, and you're in your friend's basement and their mom decorates the whole place with fake grapes. It's like this weird fake Grecian. Everyone, like, they have a huge leather couch. you are watching this in the 90s, and it blew my mind. I was like, oh, God, I was a kid once.
You texted JPC and I a few minutes after starting the movie, and you said, this feels like a massage for my brain.
Yeah, I think because I was like, the nostalgia and the way that it was pulling on like my memory brain, I was like, ooh, yeah, I forgot. Ooh, I forgot about this. I forgot about this. But the more I watched it, I went, why does this movie exist? I don't remember it basically being a biopic. They never go to space.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, so I know that I watched this movie because I definitely saw it as a kid, as a little kid. It came out in 96, and I remember, like, I remember the soundtrack was, like, huge for this. So I definitely remember that. But, I mean, my specific brand of trauma, I do not remember most of my childhood. I don't really
flavor.
I don't have a lot of strong memories of those years of my life.
That's called Indiana brain. Where your body refuses to remember growing up in India.
That's what happens when you only eat corn syrup for 20 years. But I don't truly remember, like, I know it must have been big in my elementary school for the time that it was big. And I know I must have watched it a bunch, but I didn't really remember a lot about this movie. And I haven't watched it since I was a kid, for sure.
Yeah, it's not exactly what I remember it being. And I was like, why does this exist again?
It is bonkers to think Michael Jordan, like the biggest brand on earth, the most successful human of all time. It's wild to think that he said yes to this because it's him acting opposite of cartoons the entire movie. He does a stand-up job. Like, don't get me wrong. He does, for a non-actor, for just, you know, a gleaming personality and wonderful athlete, he does a pretty good job acting opposite of these cartoons.
If I'm not mistaken, he agreed to do this movie because his agent contacted the Looney Tunes people after he had done a really successful like Super Bowl ad with them that people were sort of obsessed with. So he had done something with them before that people were like, gotcha. Whoa, that was so fun and cool, and everyone referenced it. So they decided to do this. But he hated the experience, and so they never made another one.
Well, the other interesting thing about this, and I didn't watch The Last Dance. Adel, you watched The Last Dance. Aaron, did you watch The Last Dance?
Yeah, I watched it.
It was incredible.
So I didn't watch it. But of what I know about Michael Jordan, he is like one of the most notorious trash talkers in all of basketball. Like, he would destroy people with trash talk. Mm-hmm. And I felt like this movie, especially experiencing it as a little kid, was like an image rehab, like makeover. You know, like Warner Brothers basically paid to have his like image scrubbed because he comes off as a nice guy, you know, just like a family man, a father, and his trash talk.
He would make Bugs Bunny sob on set. Bugs Bunny would cry in his trailer.
He would take Bugs Bunny out on the golf course and he would say $1 million a hole, and Bugs Bunny lost his entire fortune betting against Jordan.
I read a bunch of like anecdotes about Jordan like passing by doing after I saw this movie to like learn more about him. And there was one where he was playing golf with someone and he had a flight to catch. And the guy was like, hey, man, like, we're pretty deep into this golf. Are you sure you're going to catch your flight? Like, are you sure you're going to catch your flight? You sure you don't have to leave? And eventually Jordan just stopped him and goes, man, I got my own plane. Flight leaves when I leave.
Wait, that's amazing.
Jordan was a trash talker. And in this movie, the biggest trash talk that he does is like, hey, guys, that's not nice. And even at the end when like he's talking to like all the people who have lost their powers, like he's very tame in his trash talk. And I'm like, as a kid, this is the only Michael Jordan I ever knew was the one from this movie. And it's like, wow, what an amazing opportunity for him.
So there's a lot of... So right before this movie, there's a lot of rumors swirling around that Michael had been kicked out of the league. Because he took a break from the NBA after his father died. He went to try and become a Major League Baseball player.
Which they included in the movie whatever reason.
But in the movie, it's so weird because in the movie, everyone's like, you suck at baseball. Stop playing baseball. It's embarrassing to watch you. And Michael's so good natured about it where he's like, oh, man, like that sucks. I was horrible today. But when he was actually playing baseball, which was a little bit before this movie, Sports Illustrated ran a cover story that was like, Michael Jordan, stick to basketball, or like, you suck at baseball. And he, after that issue ran, he never talked to Sports Illustrated again. He was basically like, you're all dead to me. They'll never fucking talk to me again.
Yep.
So he, again, in the movie, it makes it seem like he's so good natured and like amenable to this bullshit talk. But in real life, he was like notoriously... egotistical about it.
Not to bring it down, but like, well, Jordan famously had, you know, that fucking ego on him, but he quit basketball like when he was the best basketball player, arguably, you know, especially of that time, he was the best. And he quit basketball after his father was murdered, which is like, that is dark shit. And this movie kind of glosses over that. He's my dad got to watch me play my last game. And it was like, okay, but what happened to him? Like, Google, no.
Very bad stuff. But then, they also say the rumors, David Stern kicked him out of the NBA because of gambling issues. Because so that was like the rumor that's never been cleared up.
The one thing that he claimed was that he went to play baseball partly because of his father's untimely death, and that was kind of like something that he was working out. And then the other thing is like baseball and basketball are completely different sports, and he was like geared to playing basketball, and he had to like retool and relearn a lot for baseball. And yeah, he wasn't very good, but like he also of the story that I read of the people that were like training with him were like he did the training, like he was very aggressive about being very good, and he did the training really well. So yeah, it's an interesting rewatch though, because all you get, if all you know from Michael Jordan is this movie, is a complete like, you know, propaganda piece of like his life, which is awesome. I love that.
Well, it's wild living in Chicago, because my experience with him is this movie from when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And like him in commercials. So I didn't give a shit about how great the Bulls were in the 90s. And then to move here and to like learn that team was like an essential part of so many kids who grew up in Illinois' childhood, I was like, oh, when I was watching the documentary, I was like, oh yeah, that's probably why these three basketball players are always on. There, I get referenced all the time. Oh, okay. Like, I had no idea the stakes of it, because for me, he was like a pop culture person and not an athlete.
I would say, growing up in Central Illinois, I would say 9 out of 10 kids I grew up with have a BJ Armstrong jersey. I would say those Bulls teams were like just, again, ingrained into the Illinois culture.
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, how old were you when that was happening, Adel?
So I think they won their first title in 92, I believe. So I would have been 10, and I would have been living in Neponset, Illinois.
That's prime time.
And watching all their games on TV with the family. And we would all, just like, it was truly the one thing that we all did as a family was watch the Bulls games, and just like, especially during the finals, like stand up and like run around the house and scream and whoop and holler. Very fun.
Can I ask you guys a big picture question about Space Jam?
Yes.
Do you think this movie ages well?
No.
The after the opening credits, the very first thing we hear is R. Kelly.
Yeah, I mean,
singing "I Believe I Can Fly," that which part immediately ruins the movie.
That part, I think that if you were to like remaster this, you would maybe just take that out. You would just, but that song, I will say, like I said, Space Jam soundtrack was huge. That song was huge. That and the Welcome to the Jam.
I just looked it up. How much money that album made. It sold, just found this, sorry guys. It was certified 6 times platinum.
Wow.
Huge.
That's crazy for that time.
JPC, you're only 1 times platinum.
Yeah, but I'm saving up to get the rest of my body done. Because they say you have to do a couple of base coats or else it doesn't really take. But once that I get that 6th coat, watch out, Batman. The Platinum Man is going to have something to say about you stopping crime. I played with that well. Yeah, I think I rolled well with the one-time platinum. Hey, that part obviously does not age well. But I think for a movie made 25 years ago, it's not bad. Like, there's some parts, but I think overall it ages pretty well, especially because it's a kid's movie.
Yeah, it's in that realm of, like, there's a few movies that are never going to be out of fashion, and that's like Rookie of the Year, Angels in the Outfield, The Mighty Ducks. Like, a lot of the kids' sports movies are timeless classics.
Climbless classics.
I would put this in my head. It was, now I'm forgetting the name of the movie, boys playing baseball in a field, and it's called
The Sandlot.
This in Sandlot and Air Bud and all of those sports movies all lived, Mighty Ducks, all lived in the same part of my brain growing up.
I got a little bummed watching this movie knowing that they're remaking Space Jam and there's like another Space Jam coming out, because I was like, man, like, why? Like, it's probably going to be bad, obviously, but like, can't this movie just be it? Like, we did one of them, and do we have to do another Space Jam? I know it's getting away from the movie, but it made me sad a little bit to be like, let's just have this and like move on.
It was interesting. Of yesterday when I watched the movie was when the trailer came out for the new Space Jam.
Oh, that's right.
So it's like 10 minutes before I sat down to watch Space Jam on Twitter, someone was like, here's a trailer for the new Space Jam. I'm like, this is weird timing. And I watched the trailer. I have to say, it does look very entertaining, but it looks more like Ready Player One. The trailer, there's like the characters from Clockwork Orange. There's like Mortal Kombat characters. There's like Iron Giant and King Kong and Gandalf.
I think the Clockwork Orange thing was a joke, maybe a Twitter joke.
Oh, was it? Okay. I saw that on Twitter. Okay. But there's a bunch. There's like Fred Flintstones in it and Yogi Bear. Like, it's just a weird, it seems more like Ready Player One than Space Jam.
Well, the Iron Giant is in it. And isn't the Iron Giant in Ready Player One as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe so, yes.
It does. I mean, that's what movies are nowadays. And like, Donald Cheadle's in it as well as like a, who knows what that movie will be? As War Machine. He keeps, next time, baby. He keeps coming back. But I thought that this movie had, like, there were some fun gags to it. It's very colorful. Even the graphics were not, I mean, I was like, 25 years ago, animation is still pretty good looking. Like, it ages, that part of it ages, I think, pretty well.
Mm-hmm. In the world of CGI, though, like, how much special effects has changed in our lifetime, your brain gets used to certain things.
Yeah.
And then old stuff can start to feel, like, grotesque and hard to watch. And the sort of, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Space Jam kind of, like, half-animated, half-human thing, I don't like that. I'm like, it just doesn't feel, like, good. I'd rather one or the other,
CGI. I still think it's magical. I think Who Framed Roger Rabbit is my second favorite movie of all time. And I feel like that movie is flawless. And I feel like they do such a good job of, like, Bob Hoskins does such a great job acting opposite of the cartoons. So I feel like Who Framed Roger Rabbit works really well. I think Space Jam is a little more clunky at times. Like, the basketball game itself is just, like, it's just a potpourri of madness. Like, there's no clear indication of what's going on at any given time in the basketball game. It's just, like, let's cram in 50 gags, and there's no sense of, like, score or where in the game they're at or what's going on. It's just madness. So the game is kind of sucks, but the rest of it, I think, is really well done.
I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Before we move forward, was there one actor in this or appearance that you had forgotten about that surprised you?
There's one. Okay, there's two. One was the guest appearance of, and I think he does one of the voices of the cartoon characters, but Dan Castanella, who does Homer Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
He's courtside at the Knicks game. It's like when the little aliens wear overcoat and sit down next to a lady.
He's married to a Deborah.
But that's Homer Simpson. So that was, I was like, I forgot he's in this movie from when I watched it 2 years ago. And then the other one was, I love and I wish she got more playing time, the Green Witch cartoon character. I forgot she's in that, and they show her a few times from the Warner Brothers cartoons.
I remembered Bill Murray was in this movie, but I completely forgot Larry Bird was in this movie.
And yeah, that was the big one for me. I went,
Larry Bird's
what?
In every scene with Bill Murray, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I was surprised by everyone, and that was cracking me up the whole time. I'd be like, Danny DeVito?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Murray? Larry Bird!
So we start with, we open with R. Kelly. We see Michael's a kid playing.
Well, let's not.
Huh?
We open with R. Kelly. I know that's what the song's playing, but that's sort of not the point of the opening, I'd say.
R. Kelly,
he's with his dad.
His music does not appear. He has nothing to do with this movie. So he's in North Carolina. He's playing basketball in the backyard. We see him possibly dunk for the first time. He probably just like fell and
he whiffed,
broke his
he
arm.
Airballed it. We don't see it, but he's like a little 3 foot kid. He fucking whiffed. No way he dunked.
Dude. But then
after we see this sort of like cloyingly sweet representation of his childhood and his dad being all smiles, we then move to him in Birmingham, Alabama, where he played minor league baseball. We see Wayne Knight seems so sweaty in this movie, frantic of a character.
Before Birmingham at all, is there not the opening credits?
Oh, there is. I'm sorry. We saw the opening credits of him. So it's like him as a little kid leaping to dunk, and then it smash cuts to him as a grown-up dunking in the college and in the NBA.
What I loved about the opening credits is it's like a 2-minute sequence, and the whole time they're doing that jam, space jam, space did a jam, and they're playing that song, which is a masterpiece of a song. But I'm watching this opening credit sequence, and it's just Michael Jordan fucking dunking and like doing basketball, and he's just great, and it's just real clips of him playing basketball, and I'm watching it, and it's 2 minutes, and I'm like, who the fuck is this for? Who is watching Space Jam? And they're like, Michael who? Well, I guess let's learn a little about... Oh, looks like he's a basketball player. Wow, he's quite good. He's playing basketball in a lot of different contexts and outfits, and he's doing quite well in all of them. I'm like, why is this so long?
Because you want to know why? Because Slam Jam.
They're like, look, we made the song. It's 3.5 minutes. We
Come
literally
on,
can't
slam.
Cut. We and can't welcome. Cut a second of this song. It won't make sense in context if we do, so we have to play the whole song.
To the jam. That is my major issue with this, is like he's maybe the most famous person in the world at this point. I have no idea why this has to be biopic-y. I get that he's playing himself, but why can't we just like see like, oh yeah, he is who he is. We don't need to like go into every single detail about his life for it to have emotional stakes.
But of course, you know, we do, because it's a biopic. We see him, as Adel said, he's in the minor leagues. Wayne Knight is the new publicist. And his job as a publicist is to drive Michael Jordan around. So really,
we're crazy.
We're stretching publicist. But also, in the very first beginning of the movie, a spaceship comes in. Well, I'm sorry. Even
a cartoon
before,
spaceship.
Even before that, the part that is in space is we see a little rocket ship. And then suddenly we're in like Toon Land and we're seeing all these different worlds. And then we land on a place called,
Moron Mountain?
Yeah, Moron Mountain. And it's like an amusement park for perverts. It's
an amusement park.
I write down Moron Mountain. Glad to see Indiana has some representation in this movie. As someone who is from Moron Mountain, I would like to say that they did my people justice.
It is weird to go to space where toons live, I guess. And then it's like, what a poorly named amusement park, first of all. You need something like Six Flags, Disney World. Moron Mountain is just insulting. And we see a lot of kids hating Moron Mountain. They say, never bring me back here, Daddy. This sucks. And then Danny DeVito's character says he needs something new.
Danny DeVito's in this.
There's Looney Tunes. Of course, cartoons in space also watch Looney Tunes, I guess. They have TVs and they get service somehow.
I was like, damn, Warner Brothers has great distribution because they're getting this to other planets.
I can barely get AT&T in Chicago.
Yeah.
They're getting Warner Brothers in space.
But that's my big note for this movie. So we see them in space, but more of the movie should be in space, is my hot take.
I will say, soon after we see the space, Danny DeVito, Space Vito, as I call him, there's two parts that made me laugh out loud. One, the first was right at this instance where Michael's up to bat and the catcher is talking to Jordan and he says, like, thank you for shining that basketball for my kid. I'm a real hero now. And then he goes, fastball, don't swing, curveball, don't swing.
Yes.
And I just found that very funny because I imagine there's shit like that actually happened in the minor leagues. Because Jordan, when he went to the minor leagues, was just like, I don't want to be a celebrity. Like, treat me the same. So, like, he rode the bus with the rest of the team. He just hung out in the locker room. Like, he tried to be an average Joe on, like, a minor league team, which is, like, the most average of Joes. So, I enjoy that the catcher was like, I'm going to tell you all the pitches and try to help you out. Because I imagine that kind of shit actually happened.
The best part about that interaction was Jordan obviously doesn't want this guy's help, but he's like too nice. He's not. He's too nice to tell the catcher like to stop helping him. So the catcher's like, don't swing at this one. And Jordan strikes out. And the catcher goes, I told you not to swing. And he goes, I couldn't help it. And then the guy goes, hey, nice talking to you. I'm like, that is the most wholesome. Imagining a catcher who at the end of every at bat is like, hey, nice talking to you. Or even when the guy gets a hit and he runs away, nice catching up. It's like the
good to see you.
The friendliest fucking catcher in the world.
Contrasted with the movie Major League, which is one of the funnier sports movies, where the catcher says, you got any naked pictures of your wife? And the batter says, no. And the catcher goes, want to see some? And then he swings out and misses.
I love
Pretty
the
good
idea.
Though, huh?
I love the idea of being so wholesome and just like, hey, I'm a catcher. I'm here. My number one job, make friends. Because it's a big league. It's a lot of good guys. I want to know some people from some other teams. I want to make friends.
My wife and I are looking to start going on some double dates with some other couples. And I thought maybe if I warm up to some of the buddies at work.
I know my team. I love my team. These are some of my best friends. But guess what? My heart is big and I have a lot of room for a lot of people in it.
I love a catcher with each batter. It's almost like speed dating of like, I only have a limited amount of time. Let's get to know you. What are your likes? What are your dislikes? What are your turn-ons? What are your turn-ons?
I'm just making sure you have plans for Thanksgiving. We've got a huge table, and if you need anywhere to go, my wife and I love to host.
At the end of that baseball scene, the spaceship flies overhead. Everyone looks at it, and they're like, huh? No one talks about that for the rest of the movie. And then it crashes into a grocery store parking lot. That part was fucking terrifying to me.
Oh,
to
yeah.
see a cartoon spaceship, how much damage it did to the real world that we know is like game-changing. If I saw that in real life, I would never be able to sleep again, knowing that cartoons could do that.
I heard Piggly Wiggly is still closed.
Oh, yeah. But then it gets into this the logical hole in this movie that's just like they just gloss right over it like it's fine.
Some of them are cartoons.
Well,
cartoons are prisoners of the middle of the earth.
There's other worlds, and other worlds are in cartoon. And then our world has all the cartoons in the center of the earth.
Yeah, what?
Which means Warner Brothers doesn't have animators. That's a lie. They've just told this whole lie to us to be like, yeah, we have animators drawing Bugs Bunny. What they have done is they have found a way to the center of the earth where there's a vault full of cartoons, and they're just like pulling scenes out of it to let us know about it. It's, you guys, what is this world?
Is this a dumb question?
Yes.
Just please don't make fun of me, okay? Is that what gravity is? Are we just getting pulled towards these cartoons?
Yes. And you want to know the most terrifying implication of this movie?
What?
If the Looney Tunes world of cartoons live in the center of the earth, that means that cartoon characters are made of molten iron.
Yeah, and they're causing tsunamis.
If you
and
touch
other
them,
such
you
disasters.
Will die.
They are responsible for Pompeii. And that's what, if we're pulling the thread of the logic here, Looney Tunes did Pompeii.
Okay. It is just fucking wild. You have to just divorce yourself from any logic when you accept the premise of what this is.
Bastille, what's the is it kaiju or what's the Japanese, the large Japanese
yeah,
monsters?
That's a kaiju.
Looney Tunes are basically kaiju. They live in the center of the earth. They're molten iron. They come out once a year to just like wreak havoc. Like,
can we watch that Brendan Fraser Journey to the Center of the Earth?
George of the Jungle? Oh.
Can we make that an option?
Oh, you mean the one where he's with Christopher Walken? He's in the bomb shelter for 50 years and then he comes out? Blast from the Past?
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Okay. Blast from the Past is fun. Hey. Couldn't have aged well.
Nope. No way. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm being distracting.
No. Well,
what are we here for if not to be
I don't
distracting?
Know.
So anyway, they go down to the monsters, go to the center of the earth. They bring guns. They kidnap Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny, by the way, never go with the criminals to a second location. That's like number one. Don't look them in the eyes. Don't go to a second location. That's fool shit. You're going to get killed, Bugs Bunny. But they kidnap Bugs Bunny. Have him take him to the rest of the Looney Tunes and say, we're going to take you all up to space to be in this like bad amusement park. And they say, well, no, before we do that, it's in the rules. Bugs Bunny, you know, he's a little card. He's just an absolute cut up.
Well, he's a stinker.
He changes the rules to say that you have to give them a chance to win their freedom. And the chance that they take is they look at these little monster things. These guys are tiny. They're shitty. They're nothing. Let's play basketball against them.
I will say, there's so many famous, I didn't look up on IMDb, but I know there's so many famous people who voiced all the cartoons, like some real heavy hitters in the cartoon world, and
sure.
Also like actual, well, that sounds rude, but like actors. But I will say, I could not help but like be very upset. Anytime the like stoner monster talked, it just seemed like such lazy voice acting, where there's like the blue monster who's like,
yeah.
Hey, did you guys get some chips? And I'm like, this seems so out of place for the level of voice acting in this movie. That person should be using a filter, or there should have been a different. I don't know.
But this is before that became such a tired trope.
It definitely felt very like 90s to have that guy in there.
JPC,
mm-hmm.
That logic of like the smallest guys. That's what you do when you play basketball with children. You go up and you're like, who can I beat at this?
Yeah, I say, what are we playing? We're playing basketball and no fouls.
No
all fouls are legal.
What are we playing? We're playing basketball. I'm going to kick your ass.
So we go, soon after this, we go to the golf course with Bill Murray, Larry Bird, and Michael Jordan.
Where the most disturbing part of the movie happens in this scene, but continue.
Yes, yes. There's a very funny, I mean, Bill Murray's so good in this movie. They later reference it, but obviously Ivan Reitman produced this movie, was a driving factor of the making of the movie, and Ivan Reitman also produced Ghostbusters and is a good close friend of Bill Murray. Bill Murray is brings so much delight to this movie. When he says Larry Bird is not white, he's clear. And then the best part of the movie is Michael gets, they're shooting golf. Michael gets a hole in one because Bugs Bunny is magnetically pulling a golf ball. Famously, golf balls made of pure metal into the hole. He gets a hole in one. He goes to grab
his
ball
out of the
hole.
He's a center of the earth monster. He can do whatever he pleases.
I think we need to start, we need to put it out into the universe. Bugs Bunny is a kaiju. That is now fact and law.
I don't want to make them mad.
Can I ask you guys a question? This golf threesome, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Bill Murray.
Would it make an excellent real threesome?
No, I'm just saying. Who made the first call? Who put this together? Is it Bill Murray?
Yeah, everyone always thinks that he gets invited to do things, and they're like, "Oh wow, it's so crazy! He's like showed up here, and he took pictures of me and my husband at my wedding because he's here." No, he's fucking desperate. He called both of them.
Because here's how I thought it might be. I thought maybe Larry Bird called Bill Murray. I could see Bird and Bill Murray somehow being friends, and was like, okay, "You want to golf on Sunday?" And Bill Murray's like, "You know, you should invite Michael Jordan."
And then Larry Bird like, goes,
and he's like, "Bill, I just want to have a nice time golfing. Do you really want me to invite Michael Jordan?" And he's like, "Yeah, you know, that'd be fun to have Michael Jordan there." What an unlikely triplet.
Did you see that they're making a series, a fictional series about Larry Bird for HBO? They're doing like a whole series.
Well, I don't think it's fictional. I think it's based on the Showtime era of the Lakers.
Right, but it's not, they're acting in it. It's not like it's a documentary about it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I didn't want to be misleading because it's not like the Michael Jordan one, it feels like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's you're right. Yeah, yeah, sorry. But I think it's based on a book that, like, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
Larry Bird is
Bo
perfect.
Bo Burnham is playing Larry Bird.
Ugh.
Which is wild.
Larry Bird's like 6'6".
Boston boy.
Bo Burnham's like 6'4".
Is he really?
I think he's so
tall.
Wow.
I think he's taller than that.
The Larry Bird is Aaron and I's connection because Larry Bird is the bridge between Boston and Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the literal bridge technically. So if you walk across Larry Bird,
you can get
right from Massachusetts to Indiana.
I think Larry Bird
played in Boston.
Didn't he have some sort of like corn-based nickname or something? I thought he had like an Indiana nickname.
Soy Boy? He was called the Soy Boy. Because he always had his mouth open.
it doesn't matter. But I also think that Larry Bird is a really great person for like Boston and Indiana to both be like, yeah, we're both proud of Larry Bird.
Yeah.
Because from everything that I've heard about Larry Bird, he seems to be like a really nice guy.
Oh, yeah. He's very nice. His nickname was the Hick from French Lick.
That's right. The Hick from French Lick. Mm-hmm. I do know that Larry Bird was invited to the Reagan White House when the Celtics won a championship, and mm-hmm. he declined to go. He said it wasn't political, it was personal. But
which is even cooler.
Anyone who doesn't like Ronald Reagan is okay in my book. So
He basically ended his career because he was building his mom a house in Indiana. Like, he built it himself. And he threw his back out building her a house.
Well, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
And then after that, his career was basically in decline and then over.
And then he never coached.
I'm just feeling grumpy because I just feel like JBC's way too hard on Ronald Reagan.
Well,
JBC, some of his policies are still making good things happen today.
Trickle down.
Trickle-down economics is still going to work, right? It's been 40 years or so.
I fired all the air traffic controllers. Did we forget about that?
Nancy, can I get some jelly beans? Now I'm just a joker. Where does he get those toys?
Do you want to know how I got these scars?
That's fun.
Ronald Reagan's joker. So they're golfing. Michael gets a hole-in-one due to the help of Bugs Bunny, the kaiju. He reaches into the hole to grab the ball, and he gets sucked down into the center of the earth, which is terrifying.
But for
terrifying.
Larry and Bill, it's like a regular Tuesday.
Tuesday, bitch. This is the best part of the whole movie. Michael gets sucked down, which is terrifying, spine tingling, and then Larry and Bill just keep staring at the hole, And then because Wayne Knight was taking a picture of Michael when he got sucked in, this is the best part. One of the better parts in any movie.
Yeah, very funny.
Bill turns to Wayne Knight and he goes, "What kind of camera is that?" Which is, you know that he probably just ad-libbed that. He probably improvised it. But that was like the one huge laugh out loud line of the movie for me.
I need to say something.
Do you remember the other line, though? Because he said, "What kind of camera is that?" And he takes it and throws it away.
Oh, Wayne Knight turns and he goes, "Don't point that at me." And then he grabs the camera and throws it.
Yes, that's right. Don't point that at me.
That's perfect. That's like a perfect meta moment. But that moment when he gets sucked in and the other two don't care, I was like, this is a real Hey Riddle Riddle moment. Michael Jordan. I got sucked into the ground. JBC's Bill Murray. And Adel is Larry Bird. And Larry Bird's Adel is like, "Hey, do you think Erin's going to be okay? She just got sucked into the ground." And then JBC's like, "Yeah, don't worry about it." And
I'm
like, that's what
it feels
like.
But my thing is, I
want to
be a professional basketball player. So that's what we're going to talk about now.
And JBC says, "I'm going to give us two strokes on that because we were in no emotional state to deal with that."
Yeah, well, I'm being eaten alive at the center of the earth by fucking monsters.
Bill Murray has some standout, super funny like lines in this. The other, when Michael Jordan at the very end of the movie is like inviting Bill Murray to like play basketball, he's like, "Nope, I'm gonna go ice my knees." Ooh, ah! He's just like hopping around on his knees. He's done.
So Michael gets sucked into the center of the earth because the Looney Tunes need a ringer. They need someone to come onto their team to help them out. Because what happened was
they need to make a human sacrifice.
The monsters became monstars by going around the NBA and sucking the talent out of some of the worst players in NBA history.
Which gave me nightmares when I was a kid.
Now, here's what I'll say. Charles Barkley, one of the best scorers of all time. Clearly take Charles Barkley. Patrick Ewing.
Also a charm monster.
A charm monster. He's great. Patrick Ewing, very, very good player. Another dream teamer. Absolutely take his powers. He's great. We get into Sean Bradley, Muggsy Bogues. These guys were not good players. The tallest, what they basically did is they took the tallest player. He was 7'6", Sean Bradley, and they took the tiniest player. Muggsy Bogues was maybe 5'5" or 5'6".
5'3".
That's just good comedy.
5'3".
So I think that 5'3". Jesus. So I think they thought like that would be fun to have the tallest and the smallest player. And then they take Larry Johnson, who was fine. He never lived up to his promise. They should have taken Dominique Wilkins, David Robinson, Karl Malone, Stockton. Like, they made the Monstars made some poor decisions.
Hey, the budget was $80 million. They got who they could get. I will say, I think, well, first of all, Muggsy Bogues being 5'3", he is not only just the shortest of that time, shortest basketball player, professional basketball player ever.
Smaller than Spud Webb?
It's not safe for him to play.
That's what his Wikipedia says.
He's in danger.
But by the way, good for him. Good for him being fucking 5'3 and playing in the NBA. That is amazing. And also, he's very funny in this. Like, Muggsy Bogues had a lot of personality. I was like, hell yeah. I would love to have Muggsy Bogues on a team.
He's very charming.
Right choice performance-wise, for sure. I don't care how good of a player he is. He was the right call.
There's also some, for any NBA heads out there, there's some inside jokes. One is when Sean Bradley's laying on the therapist couch after he loses his talent, which, you know, debatable. He's so tall that he stretches out over the couch. He says, "Maybe I should go back to being a missionary." Sean Bradley, famously, the only Mormon basketball player to ever play, I believe.
Also, he is the...
That can't be true.
It's also a little meta joke because he could not do missionary because he was 7'6". The only thing that he can do is cowgirl. He's got to be flat. He has to be at a... He has to just lay flat.
He had to do 132. Not 69. He had to do 132.
Was it Patrick Ewing? Was it Patrick Ewing who they were like, "And did you lose any of your other performance abilities?" And he just looks at him like, "No,
not my dick."
Just ask him.
That'd be funny if the Monstars could play basketball really well and then also just fuck their brains out. There's another reference later in the movie where Larry Johnson isn't doing well because his talents were taken, and he says, "Man, my grandma could play better than this." Famously, Larry Johnson would dress up as an old woman and play basketball, and his character's name was Grandmama. So is Larry Johnson in a gray wig and a sort of muumuu dunking around and pretending to be old? And that character famously showed up on Family Matters in one episode. It's a little tidbit for all you...
He would do that in league games? That had to be against the rule.
I wish.
That's some like Washington Generals shit.
No, the Washington Generals always played above board. You're talking about the Globetrotters, my man.
I won't say their name. I will not say their name.
Cheetah. They did what they did to the
game. What they did to the game of basketball is a disgrace.
Hey, what they did to the game of basketball is what you did to podcasting, my guy.
It would be funny if there was a game where the Washington Generals are like, ref, they put a ladder next to the hoop. Are you fucking kidding me? Just
oh my God, that is so
mind.
True. Wait, that is what JBC did to podcasting. Because he's
true.
Like, hey, I'm not going to try really hard, and I'm just going to show up and make a half-court shot that's incredible and then be like, whatever.
Another thing that I wanted to mention, because it's the next thing in my notes, in the time of COVID, watching this movie is insane. Because the Lakers refuse to play because...
Oh, yeah.
Because five players in the NBA have lost their ability to play basketball, and the Lakers think it's disease and germs, and they're all wearing like gas masks,
mm-hmm.
which is wild. But especially because during COVID, that guy, I think it was from the Jazz, like licked all the microphones, and he was like, COVID's a big hoax, and then he was like, by the way, I also have COVID, and then the NBA was like, it's all shut down. Yeah. I was like, it's just so weird.
Rudy Gobert became known as Mr. COVID. He coughed on all the mics jokingly, and then a week later he's like, I've tested positive for COVID.
I hate people. Is that okay to say? I hate
yes.
them.
But then I think in this movie, like, the commissioner comes out at one point and is like, basketball is canceled, the players don't want to play, five players have gotten sick. And I'm like, just FYI, 25 years later, that's not the way that it worked. You guys all still played, and you just decided to do it in a bubble because you were like, that's the safe way to do it. And it's still, a lot of people still kind of got the COVID.
Because capitalism is fragile.
The NBA has proven itself to go after the mighty dollar every time.
And so, we also have proven that we'll destroy people's bodies for entertainment over mm-hmm. and over again throughout history. I hate it here.
There's also a part that I don't think ages particularly well in this movie when Bugs Bunny pulls Michael Jordan down into Toon World, and he's like describing their plight to them. And he's basically like telling Michael Jordan about slavery, and I'm like, Bugs Bunny, do not explain to a black man like
is,
how bad slavery is.
The way you just said Bugs Bunny is so serious and so funny.
That was truly
Bugs Bunny.
That was truly a cringe moment where I covered my face with my hands and peeked through my fingers because it was like, yeah, Bugs Bunny being like, we're gonna be very, very hard to watch.
One of the things that I wrote down in my notes, guys, and
mm-hmm.
tell me if this is even crossed your mind at all, because I'm not a big Looney Tunes guy, but at one point I just wrote down, his name is Bugs. That's gross. Uh-huh. It's gross to have a little guy's name be Bugs. How is that allowed to happen?
Casey, can you just make that what happens before the theme song? Please, just that clip of him saying that.
Yeah, why not Steve Bunny?
Yeah, it's Bugs Bunny? Come on, it's so gross.
Francis Bunny.
Francis Bunny. I wonder
if Bugs
that was
is
like
a terrible name.
It's a terrible
I wonder if that was
name.
A play on like Bugsy Malone or something, because he talks like an old timey gangster where he's like, nah, what's the big idea? Like, I wonder if that's where that comes from.
That's what I assumed as well, but I don't know. I mean, then it was like, is it short for like Bugster? Like, what is it? What could
Excuse
Bugs
me,
be Adel, short for?
That I'm the only one who does that voice on the show. I have
What's the big idea?
I own all old timey voices on the show.
Foghorn Leghorn also has a very funny line where the monsters show up and they call all of them chicken, and then Foghorn Leghorn says, "I resemble that remark." And I'm like, "That's funny because you resemble a chicken." That's a very funny line.
That would be funny even if he didn't look like a chicken.
Yeah, that's just
Maybe
a good thing
funnier.
To say. It's like when I say hindsight's 50-50.
No, Heinz ketchup is 50-50. 50% tomato,
ketchup?
50% rats.
Which is basically the podcast equivalent of shooting a basketball from half court and then whistling.
Uh-huh. I'll say, welcome to the Space Jam. What's the difference between Space Jam and Space Jelly? The seeds?
No. I want to also tell you guys, because I was like stopping and starting. Mariah went and got dinner, so I watched like 20 minutes of Space Jam. She goes to get dinner with this other guy a couple times a week.
He sounds really cool, really nice, really strong.
Comes back the next morning, she's beaming.
He's so strong, and it's great. She went to pick up some dinner, and I watched like 20 minutes of Space Jam and then stopped it, and I watched a little more than stopped it. And I got to about... This is like an hour and a half movie, basically. It's like a 90-ish minute movie. I got to like an hour into the movie, and that's when the basketball game starts. The last third of this game is that fucking insane basketball game.
Yeah.
It feels like such a weirdly paced film, this movie.
Yes. Yeah, a biopic, but most of it's a basketball game with cartoons. What are we doing here?
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they need to like slow down and be like, here are the key moments in the game. Here's the, because at one point, as we get into the actual game, at one point the Monstars are scoring so much that their scoreboard just goes like a infinite spinning, and it goes to like, you know, 50, 75, 80, 99, and then it ends on kind of one-sided, isn't it? And then they come back from the half and it's 66 to 45 or something.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I know it's Cartoon World, but let's have some continuity. Like, whoever was script supervising kind of blew it. Like, this game sucks. Like,
whoever was script supervising was the most stressed out any human who's ever been ever. So let's give them a little break. They're like, are we sure they want to be, should we be in space more? Oh my God.
The one thing that matters is the score. We have to know that. Like, that's important to the plot.
The game is so poorly done. But then, so there's all these bits. There's like,
yeah.
One, we see the Monstars dunk so often, and I think they're trying to recreate like these Beauty and the Beast ballroom scenes where it's like, isn't it cool animation to see these huge monsters from above dunk at weird angles, and like the back row, the rims would have been shattered and broken, but they focus on a bunch of jams, and then it gets to a bunch of shenanigans. So it's like somebody holds up Pepe Le Pew and he smells so bad that all the monsters pass out.
That's like after halftime they really start using their cartoon abilities to take back the match.
Oh, and we should say there's a scene. So I kind of skipped ahead. We need to slow down a little bit. There's a scene during halftime where the Looney Tunes are getting trampled. And then Bugs Bunny fills up a water bottle with water, as you would. And he puts on the label Michael's Secret Sauce. Is it secret sauce or secret juice?
It's something like that, and it's gross.
It made me feel disgusting to watch that scene. I didn't like it.
And then he goes, Michael, did you need more of your secret juice? And then Michael's like, what are you talking about? I don't do drugs. I'm not on steroids. And so he basically tricks everyone. This is a very Dumbo moment where I think Dumbo, he holds a feather and that makes him think he can fly. Is that? Oh, that's maybe that's where they got it from. I believe I can fly.
Sure,
Harlem
could be.
Globetrotters.
But basically, Bugs tricks everyone into thinking that this water with the name Michael's Secret Sauce is something special. They all drink it and they become supercharged. And then they come in from the half and start to play.
Yeah,
They all get boners. There's a weird part where I'm okay. There's a part where Yosemite Sam has guns, and we're okay with that because he's an old timey 49er looking for gold or whatever he is.
Yeah, but shoots the ball. He shoots Daffy Duck in the face a couple of times, and it's like, what is going on?
Anyway, I guess we're okay with that. But then there's a point where is it Porky Pig in Yosemite Sam? They reenact a moment from Pulp Fiction.
Oh yeah, they're Pulp Fiction.
The most famous shot I think from the movie. It's the one I think of.
Where they have like handguns and they're in like black suits. And they shoot out one of the monster's teeth. And that was a little disturbing because it's like, it's instead of like old-timey guns that are cartoony with Yosemite Sam, it's like handguns, which is interesting.
Nowadays, when kids' movies make an adult joke, it's always like something so veiled that like, oh, adults are going to chuckle out of this. Yeah. But the kids will just think that they're in a movie and it's like a line where someone like makes a comment about like a divorce or something like that, but they don't say the word divorce. So all the adults who are watching it are like, haha, it's a divorce joke, but kids don't get it. But this is just the guns from Pulp Fiction shooting the monster.
It was such a jarring moment as an adult to watch two cartoons holding Glocks. I was like, this seems so out of place. This did not hold up well. Like, I get that it's a Pulp Fiction reference because of the music. And then even the editing of it was like, it's a weird jump to another moment. And I can't tell if they cut something out recently or what happened. But it's such a weird jump at it.
Yeah, it may have been a thing where they cut something out. Did you notice that jump at it? It felt fast to me, but so much was happening so fast in that movie that I'm like, maybe they just decided not to... linger on this. Just to back up, I know that a couple of, weeks ago, months ago, the internet was going crazy because they released what the new Lola Bunny was going to look like. And she basically no longer looks like a cartoon that you would want to fuck. And so people are like mad because they want to fuck the cartoon. That's fine. That's fine.
I don't know if we need to come out as a stance to be that's fine on Hey Riddle Riddle.
Okay, I mean, I
will say, I have not moved from my stance that the Tasmanian Devil is the most fuckable cartoon.
For sure.
Yeah, and please stop calling me in the middle of the night. You'd get me and JBC on the phone, you go, I've been thinking, I can't stop thinking about it.
I'm just saying that if you're on the internet and all you want to do is fuck the cartoon, have fun. The internet's for you too. You could be a person who wants to fuck a cartoon and be on the internet. That's good. Have your little time over there. I don't have to see it. It's okay with me. Live your life. You want to fuck the cartoon? That doesn't hurt me. It's one of those things that is just, that's a personal choice and it's your issue. Now, in reality, I forgot how much they want you to fuck the cartoon in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Every time she's on screen, she's like swinging her hips, or there's like a silhouette of her like busty figure, or it's just, it's
very creepy.
In every
one of the other cartoons, they're like, their jaws are on the floor and they're like wiping up like wet spots. And they're
just
like,
he gets fully hard.
Fully hard. His whole body gets an erection. But also, her dialogue, the only thing she says in this whole fucking movie is, don't call me toots, or like, don't call me babe. She says
I'm
that,
here
like,
to
twice.
Play basketball and don't call me baby.
Whatever she says, and it's just like, why is this like, it's just so wild.
I want to say something. There's two ways as a human being to say, I'm not okay. The first way is to say, I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Classic.
The second way to say it is, I miss when the bunny had really big titties. I'm furious. That's another way. That's how we know, okay? So you can pick either one of those, and we'll know you're not okay, uh-huh. And that there's some darkness happening in your brain, and you need help. And that those are the two ways you can tell us.
Excuse me, sir. When I was a little kid, I saw a little kid's movie where I wanted to fuck the bunny, and now I'm a full-grown adult, and I see a remake of the movie, and I don't want to fuck the bunny anymore. Something's wrong with you!
Give me my money back! Go find me money and give me money!
Nothing's wrong with me! I just don't want to fuck the bunny anymore, and I want to know why!
I haven't changed. Society's changed.
Wanting to fuck that bunny was the highlight of my childhood. And now I don't want to fuck the bunny anymore? What is this coming to?
I cannot explain why, but this is cancel culture. Because I am being attacked.
There is a weird part in this movie where the Lola Bunny is fouled and her shirt flies up and you see full-on nipples.
well, and also at the very end of the bunny, the end of the bunny,
well,
the end of the...
It was Freudian one of his producers.
The end of the movie... Bugs Bunny just like straight up kisses Lola Bunny, and then she's like, yeah, I was into it. And I was like, fuck off, Bugs. Name is Bugs. Yeah. I wouldn't let some dude creep named Dirt kiss me. Like, go away.
Bugs Bunny gives me the heebie-jeebies.
He's awful on this.
He's got bad vibes.
He's truly the Joker of this movie, too. He's,
oh, yeah.
It's just insanity. It's a twinge of insanity in him.
Oh, yes.
He's chaotic evil for sure.
At one point, they pants one of the Monstars, and someone goes, nice butt. And I was like, yeah. It is a nice butt. It's fucking full and like, yeah, it's a great looking butt. Like,
wow, glass houses, JPC. Holy shit, that changed. Wow, you didn't even leave enough space in between. What the hell just happened? Okay, sorry guys, completely discount every joke JPC made about wanting to fuck the bunny.
I didn't say I wanted to fuck the monster. I'm just saying, game recognized game. I've been working on my ass. I've been working on my glutes. It takes effort, man. It's not an accident. The monster's putting in the hours.
You could bounce a quarter off that cartoon ass. It was a great butt. It was a great butt.
Sexualize these cartoons, but that ass.
It's not sexual. I'm just saying, game recognized game. I look at myself in some jeans and I'm like, I got some work to do. And that monster has no work to do.
My big complaint, so we're coming to the end of this game, but my big complaint is, Roadrunner did not get the playing time he deserved. Now, this is the fastest little creature on Earth.
Truly.
This guy could zip around, zoom around, get outlet passes. I don't think they even show Roadrunner on the court, right?
They show him in the training part when they're just in that, they're like their gym with Michael Jordan, and he's running fucking circles around everybody. Get that Roadrunner on the court.
I would say, Bugs Bunny should be sitting out. Roadrunner should be on the court as point guard. Tasmanian Devil should be a power forward. I mean, those are your two assets.
You're putting Wayne Knight in before the Roadrunner?
Come on. At some point, Michael realizes after Wayne Knight, in the most horrific moment in movies since Large Margin Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Wayne Knight is flattened, and there's sort of a weird, it's not even cartoon, it's like a weird CGI of Wayne Knight as a like flattened human.
Yeah.
And then they kind of, they put a, I think they put a hose in his mouth or something and pump him full of air, and he becomes a balloon and he zips around the room. And people, there's a thing where they, or it makes a fart sound and people are like, P.U., that stinks. But it's terrifying. It's nightmarish. But Michael sees
that. It's absolutely nightmarish.
Michael sees that and he goes, how did he do that? And then someone says, like, you're in cartoon world, like, that shit flies, do what you want. And then Michael says, I wish somebody would have told me. Now, this is all leading up to Michael taking the last shot of the game, which is a half-court slam dunk.
Which, by the way, he can do. He's done that on record 1,000 times. The guy could do that.
I just love any basketball coach. It's like, okay, we're down by one. Last second play, dunk it from half court. Go.
Well, I don't want to be a dick or nothing, but I've seen his shoes. That's literally the picture on the shoe.
So Michael takes off from half court.
Yeah, please don't be a dick. That's a really dick move to say that, JC.
So after all is said and done, the Looney Tunes are down by one, I believe. Uh-huh. Michael jumps from half court and tries to dunk it. Now all the Monstars grab onto him. They're all pulling him down. And Michael, now that he has this knowledge that he's in Toon World and anything flies, because he's been playing by human rules, big mistake, he goes to dunk it. They pull him down. And now his arm stretches to an unfathomable length. And he's able to not even dunk it. He just drops it in from above.
Yeah.
With 1 second left. And that puts him over the top, and that lets the Looney Tunes beat the Monstars, therefore not being enslaved to Moron Mountain.
The wild part about this is that there are so many things in this movie that are like, oh yeah, this is like fake. It's the reality. We're not going to worry about the spaceship that all the humans saw. There's just so much stuff that we're not going to worry about. Mm-hmm. But during this game, Michael has missed his baseball game. Wayne Knight is trying to get him to his baseball game. It's a minor league baseball game. I think it's going to be okay that Michael Jordan's not there. But he's missed his game, and his wife and his family, they're all waiting at the game. And his wife is like, oh, I wonder where he is. I wonder, you know, where he's going to be. And his kids, who have seen the Looney Tunes and helped them out before, say, oh, he's probably at his other game. And then Michael Jordan's wife in this movie goes, what other game?
Yeah.
And the little girl
goes, shh.
It's the only real moment in this whole movie where, like, the wife is the only one who's, like, at all a little bit concerned. Be like, where is your father? Like, what has happened to him?
What I wrote down for that is,
you know?
Then I want the movie, like, you know when you, like, go up in a, like, a roller coaster and then you go back? I want to see her entire time from her perspective.
Her day?
Just the labor she's doing, taking care of her children when he's off doing God knows what with Bugs Bunny.
She's calling, like, the police, like, where? Like, I haven't seen my husband in 48 hours.
And they're like it's too soon to file a missing persons report. And she's like, please, this is not like him.
He was last with Bill Murray and Larry Bird, and he got sucked through a hole in a golf course.
You're never seeing him again.
No.
This made me remember, there is a point where the Looney Tunes go to Michael's house to grab his shoes because he needs his Air Jordans.
Yes.
So they go into his house. They're attacked by his dog, cleverly named Charles Barkley, because dogs bark. The name of the dog's name is Charles. Very clever. Little swipe at Charles. So they're trying to get his basketball shoes. I think his shorts get eaten by the dog, and they're wrestling. And then the kids come in and save the shorts from the dog and help out the Looney Tunes. They see the Looney Tunes, and they keep their little secret with the creatures, which is terrifying. But there's one point that I forgot, which I think is for the adults, which I believe it's Sylvester the cat, which I couldn't tell you the difference between Daffy Duck and Sylvester the Cat. To me, they're one and the same.
Very similar.
Talk the same, act the same, have the same MO, which is pure chaos. But I think it's Sylvester says, I'll never work with dogs or children again, which is a famous line. I believe it was Jimmy Stewart. Could have been Gregory Peck. I believe Jimmy Stewart said, never work with children or animals. And the reason being is because they steal focus. And I think it was Jimmy Stewart was doing a scene where there's like a kid on his lap and he's giving this like 10-minute monologue, and the whole time this little girl sitting on his lap is playing with his tie. And then after the scene, he like shoved the little girl off his lap and he's like, I'm never working with kids again, because the whole scene, everyone's going to be focused on her playing with my tie because it's so cutesy. And so he like screamed at the little girl and they had to like whatever. But that little line I think was for the adults in the audience.
That's the era that I miss, when men were men.
There's little girls playing with my tie. No one's paying attention to my monologue.
And that could be Jimmy Stewart or Gregory Peck or Johnny Carson or
Schiff or
Dana Carvey is Dana my guess.
Cher?
Boo Radley.
That's Cher.
Snap out of it.
The thing about the dog in this movie is there's a lot of like perspective shots with the dog, because the dog is running up Michael Jordan at one point and like knocks him over, and I'm like, okay, dude, this guy is like a 200 plus pound professional basketball player. He's not getting knocked over by a 50 pound fucking dog. I don't care how hard that dog. This guy is used to having like Patrick Ewing slam him in the chest, and he's fine. A 50 pound dog is not knocking this guy off his feet.
This man was punched in the chest by Bill Laimbeer. I think he's gonna be okay. I think he's gonna be okay. They also cut to like a stuffed dog when it hits him, which is very funny.
It is very that scene is very funny because they do a lot of work like having like the same dog that is threatening Michael Jordan is also threatening like Sylvester the cat or whatever. So it's like it doesn't actually work out. Does anyone else have because we're getting to time? Does anyone else have any like favorite parts of this movie or anything that we have not touched upon?
I do enjoy, it was fun to see in the audience every once in a while, because my favorite Looney Tune cartoon of all time is, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like Bugs Bunny goes to like this creepy haunted mansion, and there's that orange monster who's just kind of a lump. He's just kind of an orange lumpy shaped monster, and he like, there's a point where he gets like mouse traps on his fingers. But I loved anytime they pan to that guy in the crowd. Was just like Aaron said, like it just brought me back to childhood, where I was like, I love this little orange monster guy. I would die for him. And so it's just fun to see anytime they panned and you got to see the classic cartoon characters kind of cheering them on. They show, so Speedy Gonzalez is shown a bunch, but he never talks or does anything. And I know in the new movie, they cut out Speedy Gonzalez and Pepe Le Pew for their problems. But yeah, it was, and even like Marvin the Martian is fun to see him be, I think he's like the ref or whatever. So it's fun. I think it's fun to just see the little cameos by favorite cartoons.
I think that the fun part of the movie for me was these monsters, they suck in the basketball player's strength, and that makes them grow really big. At the end, when they take the basketball ability away to give it back to like Charles Barkley or whatever, they keep their size and they full on turn on Danny DeVito because they're huge monsters now. And I'm just like, what are the rules here? Because they didn't take the size from the basketball players. I mean, maybe they took it from Bugsy Bogues. I'm sorry if they did, Bugsy. But
maybe the size was the confidence all along.
I think it's a metaphor for steroids.
It has to be. And then when Michael Jordan is bringing the ball back to all of his basketball player friends who are hanging out in a high school gym together for God knows what reason, because no one else will talk to them. They've all been divorced. No one wants anything to do with them. But Michael Jordan comes back and he's like, I have your basketball ability if you had any to begin with. And I can't remember who it was. I think maybe it's Charles Barkley goes, hey, man, come on. And I'm like, this is from Michael Jordan, who's like a guy who's like, hey man, I'm gonna write your wife another $100,000 check because I blew her back out so hard. that's his level of trash talk.
Ouch,
and then
man.
Charles Barkley's like, hey, come on man, not my basketball ability.
How?
We're humans, guy. Like, treat us
that's
nice.
Fantastic. I do want to say maybe my favorite part of the movie, my favorite like non-Bill Murray moment, is maybe when all the basketball players who had their talent stolen are like being tested in the hospital and stuff.
Oh yeah, very fun scene.
And there's a scene where they're walking down a corridor like towards the camera, and Muggsy Bogues is clearly on some sort of like, he's on rollerblades or something, because Muggsy Bogues is not walking, he's like gliding. Like, watch that scene, he's rolling on something, he's being pulled by a cart or something. It's so disturbing to watch. It's like the nuns and Blues Brothers, but he's like rolling. And then the Patrick Ewing, Sean Bradley, and I think Larry Johnson are walking behind him, and they hit like a doorway, and all three of them conk their heads at the same time and fall backwards. That is so well shot. It's so funny.
It's very funny.
It's just a beautiful moment in cinema history. Like that one that one scene, I think, deserves applause.
Here's what I wonder about that scene. Because if you've ever been to the hospital, sometimes even when you do not need it, they will have to put you in a wheelchair to move you around. So even if you can like walk, they're like, no, we have to put you in a wheelchair, take you on a wheeled bed or something like that. My imagination is that Muggsy Bogues got a wheelchair, and then they looked at the other three who were all like well over 6'6", and they were like, we don't have wheelchairs for people this tall. They have to just walk. We don't. We wish we did. And that is why I think he... No, otherwise, he was just being pulled on a fucking little tractor and it doesn't make any fucking sense. But it was a very fun shot.
A little tractor.
Here's my take on the whole thing.
Okay,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the meta stuff. It brought back some great 90s nostalgia. If this is one of your childhood nostalgia movies, I totally get it, and I think that's great. With fresh eyes, I'm giving this a 4 out of 10. And I don't know if they needed to remake it. I think LeBron James is great and could do his own comedy that we do something new and fun
sure.
with. I don't think we need to be doing a remake of this. But that's my hot take. If you love this movie, I totally get it. It's totally fine.
I think I definitely will watch the new Space Jam the day it comes out, because I think it comes out on HBO Max. Which I have.
Brag.
We all watched this on HBO Max. So
somebody makes $6 a month, at least. Yeah, I agree, Aaron. I don't think it needs to be remade. I think they could have done a lateral move, and it's like Earth Dunk or something.
Sure. Earth Dunk.
But I am curious. So I'll definitely be watching that. I would, Aaron, to piggyback off what you said, 4 out of 10 stars. I would say a solid 6 out of 10. It's delightful. I think it is. I think it's very family friendly. Bill Murray does some amazing comedic timing in it. It's a delightful movie. So I'd say 6 out of 10. JPC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 6 out of 10 too. I do think that there's some funny stuff in this movie. Overall, I don't want to watch cartoons, and if I do want to watch cartoons, I certainly don't want to watch cartoons for 90 minutes. I think this movie could be recut down to 45 minutes, and I would just have the same amount of joy from this movie. But yeah, I mean, I remember it vaguely from when I was a kid, and some stuff just still made me laugh. Mostly Bill Murray stuff made me laugh. So yeah, I 6 out of 10. I think it's a good movie, and I think it's a if you got nothing else to do, it's worth a watch. I'm not excited for the new one. I probably will not watch it because it does not interest me at all. But I did watch Ready Player One and I read the book. And hey, I wish I could have both of those 2 hours of my life back.
Oh, yeah. Why did you watch the movie after hating the book?
Because the book was designed to be a movie. Like, the book read like a fucking screenplay for a movie. So I was like, surely the movie must at least be good.
You had a perfect answer to my question.
The movie was just the book. But no, I think watch Space Jam. Space Jam is a fun movie from 1996. Why not?
Well, that's it. Thank you all so much for voting. We will have a poll up next month for another movie, which we'll probably just do, what's the one with... Kristen, married to Dax Shepard. What's her name? Little Kristen Stewart. Little Veronica Mars. We'll probably just do Veronica Mars because people have been wanting that for a while. But we'll still put up a poll. We'll see what happens. And thank you.
Look, it's gonna be Biden, but we'll go with the whole rigmarole if everybody fucking wants to. I'm calling it right now. It's gonna be Biden. But if you want to do the whole fucking mess, I guess we'll do democracy or whatever you fucking idiots want to call it.
So that brings us to the end, Aaron. In space, there is jam, and it's sold primarily on one planet, which is
Venus. But remember when we said in space, no one can hear you jam?
Oh, that's right.
That we'd said that in the show. What
in space, no one can hear you jam. That's one of my favorite moments from our show.
Yeah, that was the same night. I think we recorded the air duck thing.
Mm, that lost to the
lost audio.
The history. Yeah.
All right, no one else is going to say it, so I guess I'll fucking do it. Bye forever.
Bye.
Guess Who's Back to Give the Credits a Try, another show that was hosted by Adam Rifai, Aaron Keefe, JPC, Jake the Snake, and Bill Nye. Wait, no, I'm sorry, those two were lies. Lies. Casey Tony edited the show just for you. Ooh, and Arnie Parrott wrote the theme you're listening to. Ooh, he wrote this extra line that he will not need to use. Oh, well, that was Hey Riddle Riddles. Reviews.